This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, today's sermon is based on the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this section of Scripture refutes two errors that are very common today, and it refutes these errors so that we might reject them and rejoice instead in God's gospel, which saves us. So with that said, let's examine the first part of our reading, which says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain." Now, here Paul says he wants to remind the Corinthians about the gospel he preached to them, which, by the way, is the same gospel that I preach to you. And what is the gospel? It's the good news that we sinners have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life with God through faith in His Son and through faith in what He has done for us. That is, dying in our place of damnation and conquering death for us by His resurrection. Now, Paul says that faith in this gospel saves us if we hold firmly to it. But then Paul also adds that if we reject the gospel, then we have believed in vain. In other words, it's possible for someone who is believing in Christ to later reject Christ and to fall into unbelief. And sadly, I've seen this happen in my life. People who were raised in the faith grow up and later reject God completely. How tragic. How does this happen? Well, the devil tempts us Christians to do this all the time by deceiving us with various errors. And so Paul writes to them and to us about the truth so that we will believe the truth and be saved and not be led into unbelief and damnation by the lies of the devil. The Apostle Peter writes about this also. Listen to what he says in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, "Therefore, dear friends, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Here we see why it's so important to attend church and Bible class on a regular basis. We're not to remain in a static position in our knowledge of God's Word. We are to grow in our grace and knowledge of it. Not only that our faith may mature, but also that we might recognize the errors that the devil uses to lead people astray and then articulately refute them. Paul goes on to write in 1 Corinthians 15, "For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Now here Paul refutes the first error. What's that error? The error that the Old Testament is the Jewish Bible, where we find a God of only wrath and judgment, versus the New Testament, which is the Christian Bible, where we find a God of love and affirmation who never condemns anyone. Paul stresses, my friends, that Jesus' death and resurrection took place according to the Scriptures. And my friends, the Scriptures that Paul is talking about here are the Old Testament. In fact, you can't read any of the New Testament without soon discovering that they constantly teach how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament Scriptures. In our reading from Luke, we heard how Jesus Himself taught that His death and resurrection are predicted by the Old Testament Scriptures. Simply put, the primary purpose of the entire Old Testament is to show us how God kept His promise to Adam and Eve to send a Savior for them and all their descendants. The Old Testament points us to Jesus, and it is fulfilled by Jesus. In addition, this helps us refute another aspect of this error, and the aspect of this error suggests that the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. Wrong. We find one and the same God from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. And so, those who say that the God of the Old Testament is all about wrath and judgment, well, they haven't read the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is full of examples of God's love and mercy and compassion for sinners. In fact, the reason God rebukes our sin so harshly is so that we might repent of it and trust in Him for salvation through His Son. Now, we find the same thing in the New Testament. You know, those who think that Jesus teaches about a worldly love that ignores sin and affirms everything, well, once again, they haven't read the New Testament either. In fact, some of the harshest condemnations of sin and some of the sternest warnings of hell come from Jesus' own mouth. But once again, Jesus does this only that we might repent and trust in Him for forgiveness and eternal life with God. Paul then goes on to write the following. Christ appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also. My friends, these words of Paul refute the second error that I wanted to address in this sermon. And that error is this. The error is that Christianity should be rejected. Why? Well, because it's based on the Bible. And of course, the Bible is full of unhistorical myths and make-believe fairy tales that nobody of proper intellect should believe. There are many skeptics today who talk like this. You know, I don't believe that stories about Peter Pan and Jack and the Beanstalk or Star Wars are true, so why should I believe the Bible and its stories about Jesus' death and resurrection? They're not true either. Wrong. The problem with this way of thinking is that Christianity is not based on unhistorical myths or make-believe fairy tales. On the contrary, Christianity is based on real history, real people, real places, real times, real events. Many people, believers and unbelievers alike, witnessed Jesus' teaching and miracles and death and resurrection. You know, in our sermon hymn, we sang, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when He rose up from the dead?" No, you weren't. Neither was I. But many, 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 many other people were. They were eyewitnesses of it. Now, most of us here believe that George Washington was our first president, right? Were you there when he was president? No. But thousands of other people were. That's why we believe it is historical fact. In the same way, there were tons of eyewitnesses to Jesus' ministry, miracles, death, resurrection. That's why it's historical fact. In fact, after His resurrection, Jesus remained on earth for 40 days and appeared to many people on various occasions. Paul mentions those eyewitnesses in 1 Corinthians. In fact, on one occasion, the resurrected Jesus appeared to over 500 people at the same time. Did you know that ancient secular historians refer to the historical events recorded in Scripture, and they even mention how eyewitnesses of those events were willing to suffer and die for the truth of their testimonies? So not only did Jesus' death and resurrection take place according to the Scriptures, showing that Jesus' death and resurrection were part of God's plan all along, but on top of that, Jesus' death and resurrection are historical facts that occurred at a real time and a real place and were witnessed by real people. That's why in our reading from Acts, the Apostle Paul could say the following to an unbelieving king. Remember what Paul said? "The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner." In other words, this is Paul's way of saying that this pagan king can talk to any number of eyewitnesses of Jesus' ministry, miracles, death, and resurrection. Simply put, you can't dismiss the claims of Christianity by falsely asserting that it's unhistorical myth, because it's not. It's historical fact. In closing, what Paul said to the Corinthians also applies to you. He said, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. The gospel that Paul preached to the Corinthians is the same gospel that has been preached to millions over the centuries and is the same gospel that your pastor preaches to you every Sunday. The good news that you sinners have complete forgiveness and reconciliation with God, and also the certain hope of eternal life because of Jesus' death and resurrection for you. You can stand firm on this gospel that saves you. A gospel that took place according to the scriptures, which were then fulfilled by God's Son, whose ministry, miracles, death, and resurrection are facts of history and were witnessed by many. And so we continue to use the scriptures today to proclaim the same gospel to others so that they too might hear, believe, and receive salvation along with us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which